So good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are when you are watching this. My name is Sharice Alexander, your host of Your Collective. On today's episode, I'm joined by Malti Patel, and Malti is an author, and she also is a podcast host of Enlight One, and she also has a blog. I don't really want to steal her thunder, so I will certainly let her tell us more about herself. So I will turn it over to you, Malti, to share with the audience today a little bit about your journey and how you got to where you are right now and where is where you are right now.
Okay, yeah, thanks, Sharice, and thanks very much for having me on your podcast. I think I was like most people. I was brought up in the UK, and it's very much everything scientific. There's nothing spiritual out there unless you can prove it with an equation, that sort of thing. And so I kind of grew up with that, had education. I went into computer science. I worked in IT. And so it was like pretty normal for most, well, for a lot of people who are, you know, they don't believe in anything as such. Mm-hmm. And then I moved to Australia and I worked in Sydney for a few years and everything was fine. You know, I was having a ball. I had great friends. I had a good job. I had enough money to do what I wanted just about. And so everything was fine. But even with all that, it just felt like something was missing. It was like, well, you know, is this all there is to life? That kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And so I was in Sydney. I was walking along a beach one weekend and I just silently said out loud, you know, if there's anything out there, anything else out there, please let me know, because I just felt something was missing. And the very next day I went into a bookshop and I was drawn to buy the book You'll See It When You Believe It by Wayne Dyer, which is, you know, it led me on this spiritual path about manifestation, about the fact that you're connected to the universe. And after that, I just read this was like before the internet. So I just read every book I could get my hands on. And it started to make me realize that what I'd actually missed was I'd disconnected from my spiritual self. And that was the missing piece. That's what I needed to do to get back to feeling fulfilled. And mm-hmm. So it's funny, like I was working in IT, but my passion was meditation, was spirituality. And over the years, I've kind of like moved. So now I've left IT and I've written spiritual books. And now my kind of passion is helping people to overcome their limiting beliefs, to help them manifesting. So it's like a complete turnaround. You know, you start off with your 9-to-5 job because everybody tells you you've got to do that. And then I've luckily found my passion and I was able to work at it to the stage where I can do it full time now. And it's brilliant. You know, I can like wake up every day and do what I love to do. So, and that's by working with the universe, working with the angels to manifest all this on a kind of, you know, slowly. It's been like 15 years. I'm not saying it happened in a year. It took a long time, but I got there. So that's a cool kind of story about myself.
Thank you. So when you said, so it was like a sign then, really, because when you were in Australia and you're on the beach, and is there anything else out there? And then you go to the bookstore and it was like, yeah, here's absolutely. Your answer. Right?
I know. I mean, how is that for the universe to say, yes, well, we're here? It's like, you know, immediate kind of answer. And I didn't even have to do it. I mean, you know, at that point, my intuition was probably rubbish. It's got a lot better since. So it's almost like there's something to guide you, even if you feel like you're just starting out and you don't feel you're intuitive. There's always something to guide you in a certain way, I feel. Yeah.
I think the trickiest part, and even so when you know, you know. And what I mean when I say that, like I was even thinking about it this morning as I was getting ready, right? Like developing that intuitive muscle, because, you know, it's like we're born. And I was reading this. Yeah, I was reading it somewhere. And it was like you're born and you come into this life and it's like you have a fresh, clean slate. And you're so clearly connected to the divine because you haven't been bogged down with, like, you know, the physical environment, the limiting beliefs, the negative things people say, those kinds of things. So it's like you're so free. And so as children, you know, that connection is really clear, really strong. But I think the trickiest part as adults who are trying to remember, you know, that divinity that is within us, it's like, it's so much guesswork. And I think that's the frustrating part about it, is because I know for myself, I'm just like, okay, like, was that a sign? Like, okay. Cause then I'll see something and I'll go in that direction. I'll be like, okay, so that must've been a sign. and I'll start taking a path, and then I'll be like, and then I'll see something else and I'll be like, or was it? You know what I mean? Like, which is it? So for you, how do you, what are maybe some tips that you give to people or even within your own practice where you can really like know, like, this is, yeah, this is absolutely the way I'm supposed to go.
Yeah, I think we really overthink it, don't we? I think our mind and our ego comes in and says, yes, that's a sign. And the logical brain is going, yeah, that's a sign. And I've found over the years, it's the heart is always right. There are so many times where I had to make a decision and I went with the logical mind and my heart was saying something else and it didn't go quite right. And so I feel it's a gut instinct. If you feel that gut instinct, that's what I would call intuition. Always go with that. You know, if you feel like you've got a business deal or something going on or a house you want to buy, but something just doesn't feel right. You know, it's just like, you know, on paper, it looks fantastic, but inside something is telling you it's not quite right. I would say go with that feeling because your intuition is multidimensional, Charisse, and it looks way into the future. Your intuition can see what's going to happen with that decision years ahead. Whereas our logical mind is a bit like, I can see 3 or 4 steps ahead, but I can't see 20 steps ahead. So I kind of describe the intuition as like one of those chess masters. You know, they can look at a chessboard and they know 20 pieces in advance what the game is going to do. And that's your intuition.
Crappy chess player.
No, I know I've not played for years, but your intuition knows that if you make this decision, you know, in the future, it's going to be fantastic, even though, you know, your logical mind might be saying, it doesn't, you know, that's not right. On paper, that's not good. But yeah, go with the heart, go with the gut instinct.
Yeah. And, you know, there's an idea that a coach that I had worked with once that she had said to me, and I really loved it. And I think I try to embody it, you know, when people talk about, because I think we inherently, most people, I'm not going to make an absolute statement here, are scared of failure. Like if I make this decision, you know, there's going to be all these negative repercussions. And there's something that she had said, and she was like, there is no wrong decision. Mm-hmm. It's all learning. Mm-hmm. So even now, like, especially when I'm talking to my kids, I'm like, there is no wrong decision there. You're learning. The decisions are either in alignment with your highest self and your soul and your purpose, or they're out of alignment. It's really that there is no right or wrong. If you choose that you want to live a life that's out, and you'll know, because it won't feel good. It will, like, deep down inside, it will not feel good. If it's in alignment, then it'll feel good. And I think this is where I'm at right now, is like this phase that I'm in right now is really just about total surrender. And just when I think I've surrendered enough, surrender a little bit more. So it's teeny tiny things like, okay, like, what should I do for physical activity today? Self? Okay. Yeah. Yoga. Okay. Oh, go for a walk, whatever it is. Right. Yeah, yeah, and, yeah. And that's actually how you build the muscle. This is advice I've been giving my kids, because they're like, well, how do I know? I'm like, ask yourself, you are your own guru. So just ask yourself.
Man, your kids are lucky. I wish I'd had that. But
I did too.
You're so right, Charisse. It's tiny, tiny baby steps. Just check in, as you say, with the little things. What should I do for exercise today? And the more you do it, that muscle, it's just like going to the gym, that muscle, that intuition muscle will get stronger and stronger. And eventually you can ask the big questions, you know, like, you know, I don't know, where should I move to? What job should I take? And so it's all, yeah, as you say, as children, we have it inherently, but life gets in the way and we kind of disconnect for it. Well, not everybody, but a lot of people disconnect from it.
I think maybe it could be, why do you think, and that there was definitely a question that I had here, because you spoke about, you had realized, like, you know, as you started on rediscovering yourself, you realized that you had disconnected from your spiritual self. So at what point, and do you mean just through the general journey of life? Or so in other words, what I'm asking is, you know, when you were younger, did you have like a strong spiritual connection and then you just got busy with life and you realized you needed to get back to that? Or was it just, you know, maybe in this life you were disconnected from self?
Yeah, I think the way I was brought up was very much drummed out to view that there is no spiritual self, you know, there is no God, there is no this, it's all, you know, you have to prove it. But it's funny, even when I was a child, I always felt like something was looking after me, something was around me, even though I wouldn't have known kind of maybe consciously. And so I suppose in a way I kind of ignored it. I kind of decided, well, it's not, doesn't exist. And then when I got later in life into my 20s, I think it's almost as if your soul, the universe, is saying, right, you have to wake up now. You know, this is your time. So that's when I started to meditate. That's when I started to read the books. And so I think we always have that connection. But yeah, what happens in your life to make you wake up, basically, I suppose, is what you should ask yourself.
Well, I think that if if your contract or your mission in this life is one of, we'll say, a spiritual nature. And again, this is something that I say to people in my experience. If you ignore it, it just gets louder. And what I mean when I say louder is it just gets messier in your life until the point where you're just like, okay, fine. What, like you, right? Like, is there anyone out there, right? Like, is this, and I think it's when we ask those questions. And I remember when I asked that question of a friend many years ago, is like, is this it? Like, I just born, have some kids, have a husband, have a house. And this is, I'm bored. I'm 30. I'm bored.
I've got another 40, 50 years of this.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was like really kind of depressing in that moment when I was just like, oh, great. You know, if I live to 80, we got a long road ahead of us with this.
I know.
I mean, I like travel and things like that, but you know.
Even that. And the thing about the spiritual journey is it's never ending and you're always learning new things. That's what I find so fascinating. It's always changing. And even though you might think, oh, you know, 10 years is a long time, even after a year or two, you've learned so much about yourself. You've learned so much about how the universe works. It's just always exciting, I find. Even now, I just get insights and I think, wow, it's amazing. You know, it's great.
Yeah. You don't know what you don't know. And again, that was a thought that occurred to me this morning. I'm just like, I wonder if you ever like master this, like, is it possible to like, is there going to be a day even when I'm on my deathbed where I'm just like, yeah, you know what? I got it. I totally. And I think the answer was no.
No, I think the answer is no, but people don't get bored. You don't get bored for sure. You could be doing this for decades and you'll always learn something fabulous, I think.
Yeah. So with your work, how do you facilitate or help people? Like, where's your area of focus in helping people to, you know, bring more spirituality into their life?
So I think I work in a kind of, I suppose, a holistic way. It's helping people to manifest their dreams and goals, but to manifest, it's not just about your beliefs. It's also how can I connect with my intuition? How can I connect with my soul to help me manifest what I desire? So it's like, you know, we have the logical brain and we can like have goals and milestones, but we have this whole spiritual aspect, this entourage, which will also help us that people have forgotten about. And so it's how do you marry the two to manifest your goals, to move along your spiritual journey, whatever that is. You know, do you want to find your soul purpose? How do I do that? How do I get to the stage where I know my guides and my angels are with me every day helping me? And so it's helping people in that sort of arena, like connection to soul, spirit, help, getting the help to manifest what you want in your life.
So let's talk a little bit about manifestation. I mean, I'm always talking about manifestation with my, sometimes I just think I sound like a broken record in the house, because even yesterday I'm like, oh, it's a new moon. It's a perfect time to set good intentions. And
I know.
Absolutely. So how do you, when you talk about manifestation, how do you guide the people that you work with? What are some of the tips and things that you want them to be mindful of?
So I think to start off with, I really feel it's to do with our limiting beliefs, our issues of self-worth, self-esteem. It's because we're all energies and all those things are energies, all those beliefs. And so we're always attracting, in fact, to be honest, we're always manifesting, but we're manifesting what we believe at the subconscious level. And most of the time, that's pretty horrible. No, not horrible, but, you know, it's stuff you don't want. So I help by saying, well, let's get to the beliefs, because that's what's going on at the minute. They're creating your life. And let's get rid of the limiting beliefs. Let's replace them with empowering beliefs, the ones that will then help you start to attract the kind of manifestations you want in your life. And it's also about raising your vibration. So instead of being in anger or fear, it's about how can I get to the stage where I'm mostly on a kind of optimistic, positive level, where I'm in a state of gratitude, you know, where I can remember to be in gratitude, because it's a feeling universe. And I'm pretty sure the universe communicates with us on a gratitude level of, you know, that sort of thing. If you can be in that high vibration, then your intuition gets much deeper, much clearer. It's almost like you can hear the universe telling you what to do. So it's that sort of thing. It's let's clear out all the beliefs that do not serve you. Let's raise the vibration and let's start to connect with the universe, and let's see how, and then, you know, going with the intuition, see how we can start to manifest everything.
Yeah, you know, I was reading your blog, your latest one, and it was like such a good reminder. And, you know, in my interactions with people, and this is often a very tough one, right? Because my observation of the world for the most part today is one that is very rooted in a victim mindset of how it's, and that's not to negate or to be dismissive about the things that happen in our experience. But again, same coach had said once, things don't happen to us, they happen for us. And so I think in one conversation I was having with someone, I said, okay, you believe in manifesting, right? And she was like, yep. I said, okay, and you believe you can manifest beautiful things in your life? And she's like, yep. I said, so then shouldn't that also mean that the things that you're experiencing in your world, that you're manifesting, that you don't like, that you also brought into your experience? And that's where the full stop came. She was in full resistance on that. And I think that is the part that people have a really, really tough time getting over, because, and honestly, Malti, it was kind of, it was very interesting to watch, because she was with me. She was with me all the way until I got to, do you think it's possible that you are manifesting the things in your life that you don't like? And the response was, I don't know. I'm going to have to think about that. Isn't because that it's that, it's that grip that we have on, this is not my fault and I'm not creating this. But here's the great news, people. The part of your brain that is manifesting this is running 95 to 97% of the show. That's the subconscious mind. You're not even aware of it. It's absolutely on autopilot, right?
Yep.
Do you have the same experience with your people and that resistance?
That's the thing. People don't want to admit that the bad situations, they manifest those. Well, like, you know, it's like, but then, you know, he heard me. Why would I manifest that? But it's like, I'm sorry, but there is a belief in there that this was going, you know, that for some reason you feel you deserve this. And we don't want to feel like we deserve bad things. Of course we don't. But maybe it's how we were brought up, or something happened at some point. But the good thing is we can change it. So, I mean, you know, if anything, like if a negative person comes into my life, I'm like, why did I manifest that? You know, it's like, take responsibility, because then you're in a powerful mode, aren't you? Because if you take responsibility for the bad things that happen in your life, you can change it and say, hey, that happened because I'm thinking like this and I've got to change that.
And what a great awareness. And it really is quite empowering.
Yes.
And again, in conversations, I say to people, you know, instead of, especially when somebody's upset with me, the first thing I'll say is, okay, why are you really upset? And don't make it about me.
Yeah.
Like you're not allowed to actually say, I'm mad because you did this. No, let's get to like what you're feeling. Because as you so rightfully said, the universe and the divine operate in how we feel. That's the vibe that they connect with, be it a high vibe or a low vibe. That's the language that's really very universal. There's English is not universal. Nope. French is not universal, but feelings, 100% universal.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, you know, it's almost like I read this. It's like, what is the story you're telling yourself? So if somebody's upset with you, it's like, well, what story are you telling yourself about the situation that makes you mad at me? because everything is from your perspective, isn't it? Like, two people might see the same event, but they will have a different perception of that event, completely different. And so, you know, our mind have filters on how we interpret everything, how we understand everything. So always ask yourself, what is the story I'm telling myself about this breakup? You know, like, was it really that person's fault? Or, you know, and admit, well, actually, I might not have been that great as I thought. And it's like, kind of going, it's hard, because you're having to, I mean, I've done this, I've had to admit I've been a bit nasty to people. I might have, like, you know, like hurt them in some way. And that's not nice. But once you start to admit these things, you can start to forgive yourself, you can start to forgive others, and you can start to get on the road to, like, getting rid of that energy, because that energy is attracting it and you want to remove it, basically.
Yeah. You know, I had a breakthrough in that sense, like literally yesterday. And it was exactly that. Somebody had said something to me and I was like, what? Like, I was like, you're totally like, that was my energy, right? So like 100% resistance. I'm like, no, that's you're misreading that. But then I tuned into my body.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I was feeling something very different than what they were saying to me. And I was like, no, I really, and so I just sat with that for a moment and I just allowed the thoughts, the ideas to just flow. And then it was like this little thread that you start to pull, because I was like, okay, well, this is a scenario that made me feel like this. And this is a scenario that made me feel like this. And then I got to the root of it. Like within 5-10 minutes, I was like, okay, yeah, now I see why you were getting that energetically. Because when you start to be in real deep connection with people, and I'm talking about your intimate relationships, I'm talking about family, siblings, really good friends, partners, lovers, that kind of thing, there is absolutely a spiritual bond and you can now feel those things, right? So if I'm energetically putting out, you know, withholding or pulling back or any of those things, that person's going to feel it. They might not be able to articulate it, but they are going to feel that, like, I wonder what's right. And they might not be able to, and that's what was going on in this particular scenario. But the breakthrough is that, you know, this conversation or this interaction that I'm having wasn't, it was the catalyst to actually peel back another layer of a limiting belief that you thought you dealt with. And that is a good reminder there, is that you can deal with it now and have it creep up.
Absolutely. I forgot that.
And that's what this was. I was like, I thought I already did this one. I thought I passed this level.
No. I know. It's almost like, it's like peeling the layers of an onion. I find it's like, oh yeah, that's that limiting belief gone, but no, layer 10, bit of it's still there. It's like, hey, I thought I got rid of that, but it's another aspect of it that you need to work on to remove.
Yeah, but it actually makes sense though, if you think about it, right? Because if you are open to the idea that, and it absolutely just logically, like for me, it's like once you start kind of reading about this stuff and just kind of thinking through it, right? If you're open to the idea that the majority of your thoughts, feelings, beliefs, patterns are formed and in place by the time you're 7. Mm-hmm. And then as you move through childhood, adolescence, being a teenager, young adult, the experiences that you're coming into your life are just validating that thought. So this is where those neural pathways are really, really ingrained, because everything that's happening is, so let's say, for example, it's I'm not lovable.
Yeah.
Then every single experience that comes in, you might have the occasional one that comes that's contrary to that, but the majority of things that will happen will reinforce that idea of I'm not lovable. And so it's not surprising that it takes that, you know, there's going to be the moment of like, okay, great, I nailed it, I got it. And then, you know, fast forward a year later and it's like, I thought we did this already. No, because you're undoing years and years of a pattern. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if I kind of describe it as a belief wardrobe. Your kind of parents, your carers, they've put in the beliefs you have about money, relationships, everything from when you're a child. And you took those on board. And it's like, would you still wear the clothes your parents or, you know, used to buy from you? I mean, I would never do that. So it's like, take those beliefs out, examine them. Do they empower me? Do they limit me? throw them out and put in the ones you want. And another thing, it doesn't matter how old you are, you can do that at any time. Don't ever think I'm too old for this, because that's just not right. I mean, just, you can change in any moment.
But I think that that change generally, and I think I'd said to somebody once, I'm like, I don't really think that that change comes about just because if you're trucking along tickety-boo in life and everything's great, then there wouldn't really be any reason for you to go, okay, I'm not happy. Something's got to change, because you're happy and you're fulfilled and you're doing your thing, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've got friends. I mean, to be honest, out of my family, I'm the only one who does this. Everybody else is like, you know, still in there. But they're all happy, obviously. They're happy with their families. And that's fine. I honour that path. But I suppose it's for people who are questioning, like you and me, like questioning, like, is this it? That they're the people who I find are interested in this whole kind of manifestation process. What can I do to work on myself? So I would only encourage this for people who want to do it. I wouldn't go to somebody who's happy with what they have in life and say, hey, you need to sort out your beliefs because you're happy. So why would I do that? But for people who are questioning it, then it's quite fascinating how our minds and our beliefs create everything.
I wonder though, and this is the question that I pose, are people really authentically asking themselves those questions? And what occurs to me, and the reason why I bring that up, and what I mean when I say that is, like, really, I don't want people to misunderstand this. I am a very optimistic person, but I was sitting and having dinner with a girlfriend the other day, and outwardly, and I've never had a negative experience with her, like not ever, not never once in my life. And as I was talking to her, she was just like, my experience with her has always been very positive and upbeat. And, you know, she's living her life and doing really great things and so on and so forth. But then she was explaining to me this conflict that she was having in the workplace. And I was listening, and it was like, you know, happening. And it recently started. It started like in the last 3 months, and it's been like happening over and over and over again. So as I'm listening to her, she added in there that, you know, her son had talked about, here was what the challenge was. The challenge was, is that she was being perceived as being quick to anger and difficult to talk to.
Yeah.
Now, I've never had that experience with her. And I said as much. I said, there's no reason why I would ever trigger you to behave like, you know, in a way that is quick to anger or difficult to talk to, because we're friends, but there's nothing I would ever do or have done that would trigger that. And so I'm sitting there and I'm digging a little, and I'm asking her these questions, and it's making her really uncomfortable, and she didn't know the answers. And so that's why I pose the question, are people, number one, do you have friends that are not co-signing bullshit? And number two, are you asking yours? Because she was in resistance. She's like, no, I'm great. She's like, no, it's amazing. And like, I don't understand. Like, it's this other person. And I was just like, I don't know. And so I even said to her, I said, it's okay. I'm like, don't worry. It'll happen again.
What a friend.
And I shit you not, that was like on Friday. And I think she called me on Monday.
Happened again.
And so, and why did I say that? I said that because it's like, you're not pausing for a minute and really looking at yourself. And I need people to understand, like, this is not a judgment. This is not saying you're bad. This is not saying you're terrible, but this was like really, it was very distressing for her because she was being perceived in a way that didn't align with the idea that she had of herself. And so I kept saying to her, you know, she was coming up with all these ideas. She's like, well, I'll just put my head down. I'm like, it's not going to work. Like, but hey, don't listen to me. I could be wrong. I could 100% be wrong.
We have all these soul lessons we need to learn. Yeah. And as you say, with your friend, if that same kind of lesson keeps coming up, then there's something there that your soul is wanting you to learn. Mm-hmm. And as you say, it's really hard to dig deep and admit things about yourself you don't like. And maybe in the workplace, she's a different person to how she is a friend, because you know, all we have different aspects to ourselves, and with our family, we're different to our work colleagues. They see different parts of us. And so I would be like, okay, if this is occurring two, three times, then something is going on inside me. It's almost like I would say there's an aspect of me that is creating this. and it's not nice, but I need to find that aspect and I need to work out why I am creating this and speak to that aspect and talk to it and come to terms with it. That's sort of thing I've done before when I see there's things going on and I don't really like them, if you see what I mean.
Absolutely. And I can't help it right now in my life. I'm just surrounded by people who are like really, and so I've become all of their coaches. Hey, they're friends and family, so no judgment. Okay.
No, I'm going to say there is no judgment because everybody's on a journey, whatever you're going through, it's all part of life. And don't ever feel like, oh, I'm a really bad person. It's more just figure out what is triggering you and why, because deep down, you're just a being of light, to be honest. So work it out.
And that's what I think is, and even with this friend, what I'd said to her, like really from a genuine and gentle place, I said, you know what? I said, because I don't have the answers and I'm very clearly saying that to people that I'm just giving suggestions on what I've done. I've said, I'm not asking you so you can answer me. It's really none of my business. I'm asking you so you can think about it for yourself. And I said, and as you go through that inquiry, I said, be really, really compassionate with yourself. Really, like really have lots of grace and lots of love for yourself, because that's actually the tough part of, you know, kind of digging deeper is when there then becomes an awareness, like I am calling this in, or I do have this thought pattern or this belief. And sometimes some of the things that come to you are really, they're really core shaking. Like they can be. So, you know, if you need to have an ugly cry, have an ugly cry. Mm. If if you call a friend, like whatever it is that you need to do, but have some grace within that process.
Yeah, no, I agree entirely. Like, you know, there are times when I've had to admit things and you do cry. You're like, oh my God, how could I be like that? You know?
Mm-hmm.
But is it cathartic? It takes that energy out. You can then kind of step back and say, okay, I fully own this. It's not great, but I can take this moment to now change it to make it, you know, make myself better if you like. And so I won't make that kind of mistake or have that behavior again, you know, which might hurt other people.
And hurt yourself, right?
Yeah.
Because to your point around raising your vibration, but part of strengthening that connection to the divine and really, you know, it's really, if you were to think about it, like the visual I have in my head is we're all here, earth dwellers.
Yeah.
Doing our thing. And the consciousness is everywhere, but there's so much interference, the low vibes there, there's the high vibes. There's like all the devices that are emitting. And then there's other people's thoughts and other people's, like, it's just a lot. So you almost got to, like, I envision it as like, I'm in this individual little tube that's encased in like a nice serene place.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty calm most of the time. And my connection to the divine is like, I try to keep that as clear and clean as possible. And so where I'm going with this is your point around raising your vibration. Yeah. And so if you imagine that baby that already came in with none of that stuff attached, when we actually figure out how to like process these things that are creating these lives that we don't like, it allows, you're not holding on to it anymore, right? Because if you're holding on to it tightly, then you're clogging down that communication. So,
yeah, I mean, I say this in my book, like we're born with beautiful, clear energy fields. Like, you know, the baby's clear as anything.
Yeah.
And then life comes in and let's say something happens at home or school, and it's almost like a bucket of dark, crappy energies thrown into your energy field. And that's what you hang on to, the low self-worth, the limiting beliefs. And so your energy fields just become dim, like, you know, grimy windows where you can't see out, the light can't shine. And so working on yourself is like getting rid of all that grime and dirt out of your energy fields, and raising your vibration does the same thing, so that eventually your energy fields get back to that shiny, clear, you know, like you had when you were a child. You kind of removed all the crap that was given to you to get back to where you were when you were born, you know?
Yeah. You know, you talk a lot about meditation, but are there other things that you utilize that, you know, would help in terms of like cleansing that energetic field?
Good question. I don't know if I do actually. Okay, so you don't have to meditate, but there is this fabulous spiritual tool called the violet flame. Have you heard of that?
I have. I don't use it, but I have heard of it. Yes.
So the violet flame is by Saint Germain. Now you don't have to meditate, but you could literally sit on the sofa and say, I ask the violet flame to cleanse all my energy fields of low vibrating energies, of, you know, this belief I don't want, and just kind of imagine a purple flame just burning it all away. And things like that are quite powerful, actually, because, yeah, they do work. And it's, you don't have to meditate to do that. You can do that at any point.
Yeah.
But I suppose everything is energy to me. And so if you have these beliefs, everything, you know, like this energy field, your energy fields are filled with the dark stuff, then it's about clearing it. And I suppose, yeah, another thing, you can journal. You can like say, you know, I now give intent to remove this particular belief and just rip it up and just say it's gone. And as you say, though, it's like you can't do it once. Sometimes you have to do it again and again before it's finally gone.
I personally think it's a regular practice.
Yeah, it is.
I personally actually think that clearing and cleaning, because my thoughts are that I'm interacting with people all day, every day, and there's an exchange of energy all day, every day. So for me, it's, you know, morning, and I'm not so good at night, but for sure in the morning, it's like, you know, I have my own self-care routine. And it's funny because for the longest time, my idea of self-care was a pedicure. But now it's, you know, waking up and journaling and having gratitude for the day and prayer and meditation and like literally cleansing, blessing, and protecting myself on a daily basis is kind of the things that I do, you know, more from a meditative standpoint. I think the things that I do that are a little more, we'll say, aggressive or physical are like, you know, taking salt baths or going into, you know, if you happen to be near an ocean. Now, the ocean salt water is very therapeutic and very cleansing, in its properties and such. I'm not really a forest dweller, so I won't go find a forest, but, you know, things like that, connecting with nature.
To be honest, actually, sometimes when I take a shower, because sometimes I shower in the evening, I just imagine all the rubbish of the day, just all the energies just flowing out, you know, whatever it was happened at work that was upsetting or somebody said something. I just literally imagine it just being washed away in the shower. And that's something you can do every day. Just, as you know, you're washing your body. So why not wash your energy fields? Because as you say, every day your body gets dirty, but your energy fields get dirty as well, because you're always interacting with people. So there'll always be something you need to kind of cleanse, as it were.
Yeah. Because I mean, we are really all connected. At the end of the day, it's not a one and done. And I think that's definitely one of the lessons that I've learned over the years, and I think that this might also be, I was having a conversation with my sister, the other day, but one thing she'll sometimes say to me is, you know, and this was definitely my experience. It's like you do these things, you find the things that work for you, meditation, breath, whatever is in your toolkit of self-care, and you're doing it. And you've made the time for it in your routine, but then life gets very hectic and distracting and you fall off and you find that you're not able to maybe cope as well as you were when you were doing it on a regular basis. So the one thing that I have learned for myself, and it does take time, it absolutely does, but my mental peace, the peace in my body is like gold. And I eventually learned that, like, okay. And I had to go through this a lot of times where it'd be like, okay, I'm doing really, really good. Oh, I stopped. Things are crappy. Okay. Bring myself back up. Doing really, really good. And, you know, so now it's just like, it's such a regular practice. There's not a day that goes by because it's like, why would I do that to myself? Why would I put myself through the agony of not being able to feel like I can handle what life is throwing at me because I have derailed my self-care practice. And I also think that it's kind of a message to the divine that I'm valuing myself. I'm valuing myself. I'm valuing my mental space, my body, just my holistic health is of primary importance to me. And that is sending a beacon to the divine that, like, I'm loving myself. That's really what self-care is.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we brush our teeth, we have a shower every day. So yeah, think about any other thing you can put into your daily life to do that, to kind of connect to the divine, connect to the soul, and just know that you're a spiritual, you have a spiritual aspect. So everybody's different. I always say, do what resonates with you. You know, if you're thinking, oh, I don't like meditation, well, don't meditate, because it's too, you know, do something else that, like, I'm not really into vision boards, but, you know, if vision boards are your thing, do it. It's like, find inside you what resonates with you. But as you say, add it into your daily life as much as you can, because you're caring, as you say, you're caring for yourself, and you'll feel so much better as well.
Yeah. I think one mistake that I had made, and it was funny how the universe had responded. I was doing so many things. My self-care routine was literally taking like 4 hours a day.
Whoa, that's a long routine.
And I think I said to a coach at a time, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm doing so many things. I'm like, half my day is like spent taking care of myself. I'm like, this is really impacting my work. I'm like, this, I can't do this anymore, right?
Not surprised.
I mean, it was lovely for like a stint, but then it was so much, because it was like not, it wasn't even my career. So, but interestingly enough, I was flying to Nigeria, and I had all of my tools, all my self-care tools in my suitcase, and that suitcase went missing.
You manifested that.
Never to be found. I was frustrated. I was really, really frustrated. But I think that the lesson that I learned in that is, like, you are your own guru. Every single thing that you need, like, the tools are not meant to be this, because then eventually what would happen is, like, now you have this reliance on this thing that's outside of you, when really everything that you really need in order to take care of self is within you. So I was annoyed for a little, and I mean, I was really harassing that airline. I think I harassed them for about a year. I was like, okay, I think the divine was like, you're not getting it back, so just move on.
Yeah. I mean, I think for me personally, I meditate once a day at least. Now I have to do that for that connection. But to be honest, because I've been doing that for so long, it's almost like I feel connected. Even now I can consciously feel.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's like, after a while, you just consciously know you're connected. You don't really have to do much. And you're in that kind of vibration of gratitude, and you're in your heart, and it takes practice. But it's like, then you kind of become connected 24/7, and it's great. You know, it's
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you for the reminder on that, because, you know, when I think about, like, in earnest, when, you know, I think the last 7 or 8 years has really just been kind of trucking along in life, picking up this tool, that tool, this tool, that. And why did I keep going on that path, right? Because they were tools that worked for where I was at that point in time. Yeah. But like you're saying now, it's absolutely like what you're talking about. It's like, it's not even, I really, the setting the intention and starting the day with meditation is just because I want to stay in the habit of it. But it's like you said, it's like, I've now moved through my day in constant connection with the divine. Like, it is, it's like the divine's my bestie. If I was really being very honest, it's like not even anything that's separate from me anymore. It's like, we are walking together in everything that I do, even so much as, what should I eat today? What does my body need for me to give to it today to feel, you know, supported and loved and healthy?
Yeah.
Isn't that a great place to be?
It is. It takes a lot of work, but, you know, you will get there. And when you get there, you just, like, you don't want to stop, do you? It's just like, this is just too fabulous.
I feel like even when I just said that, like, isn't it so great to be there, that I just called in something that's going to be clear, cancel, release.
Yeah. You have to watch it after a while, because you start manifesting everything.
Well, I was talking to this guy yesterday, and he was like, I was telling him, you know, about the journey and the evolution. And I was saying to him, I'm like, you know, I had shared with him, like, not the details of this breakthrough, but like just how emotional it was and how I'd started this day, and not this day, but yesterday. And I got really emotional really fast. But then once I was able to, like, recognize what it was that I was holding back within myself, it was so freeing. Mm. And then the day went on to be, like, so much better. And I was saying to him, and I think that's one thing that we sometimes forget. It's like, we're not actually meant to stay stuck in these sticky emotions. We're meant to, that's what flow looks like.
Yeah. It,
or at least for me, that's what I recognized is like, that was an example for me of flow is like, there was an awareness. I paused, I thought about it. I reflected, I felt the feelings, I acknowledged it and I let it go and it was done. And I moved on to have an amazing day. But I was recounting to him how, you know, the last few, well, really since the, I'd say the last 3 months have just been a little chaotic, but I was explaining to him how I now find myself showing up in these situations, like really in such a genuine place of love, compassion, empathy, gratitude, grace, forgiveness, you know, for myself, for other people, so on and so forth. And he said to me, and this is the part that I loved, is that he was like, well, you know, he's like, when you're on a spiritual journey, you got to go through toughening. I was just like, thank you. I feel so blessed. But I do actually feel blessed because now when things happen, it's like, and this week's definitely been one of those weeks where I'm just like, oh, you know what? I'm not even gonna give that any of my mental bandwidth. It's just, it's so teeny tiny in the grand scheme of like, and it's not being dismissive and it's not avoiding it. It's just like that, that's just an annoyance. That's just like a gnat or some irritating little thing that's trying to distract me from really what the point and the purpose is. And I'm not even giving it any energy. And that's what I mean when I say, when we start to get into that place where, cause you know, people will always say, just don't give it any energy. And you're just like, but it's consuming me. Just don't give it any energy.
You mean don't go into the rabbit hole of dwelling on it and making it bigger and bigger?
Because that's part of the manifesting is when you give it energy, because what you focus on, you bring about. That's what manifesting is. And so if I'm focusing on it and I'm giving it energy, mental, emotional, physical, spiritual bandwidth, that's when it really starts to take on a life of its own.
Yeah, I know. I think as you go on this journey, you have to be quite careful of your thoughts and harness them in a very positive way. And you do learn, I better not keep thinking about that in that way, because that's not going to be good.
Yeah. And that was, so I've celebrated that win. I'm like, what a great win. And that's part of it, right? Is being able to like celebrate those things, because the journey is really daily miracles, daily teeny tiny things that are seemingly small, but they're things that say you're starting to get comfortable with self. And that's really what the journey is.
Yeah.
Getting comfortable fully with self.
Yeah. It's about addressing all the kind of, not negative, but the things that you don't really like about yourself. And then once you do that, you can start to get over it, start to change and start to become, you just start to become like a better person with a better outlook, and your interaction with other people change. You're more understanding of other people, more honoring of their path as well. Sometimes, you know, like people are doing things that I wouldn't necessarily want to do, but you have to honor what they're doing as well. And you just become more compassionate, as you say. And as because we're all connected, that goes out into the energy fields of everybody. So if we can stay in that state of grace and gratitude, that's going out into the collective consciousness, which is fabulous.
Yep. It is. It really is. In closing, is there anything that you want to share additionally with the audience that you haven't had an opportunity to share today?
I would say, you know, if you're listening to this and you're interested in manifesting, interested in spirituality, just kind of work on yourself. What am I trying to say? You might learn things about yourself you don't like, but the good thing is you'll go through that and you'll come out on the other end and you'll just feel a lot better about yourself. Always know that you have your angels and your guides around you. Always ask them for help, because they can't help you unless you ask them. So just ask them for help every day in any way to give you more peace, to help you, I don't know, get a raise, whatever it is you want. Just, the spiritual journey is just so exciting that, you know, just continue on and and always do what resonates with you. If you read something or somebody tells you, no, it's got to be done that way, and you don't feel that's right, don't do it. Always go with what's resonating with you. And I really think you won't go far wrong.
I couldn't agree with you more. And always have grace and compassion for yourself through the journey.
And remember that the universe loves you no matter what. You might have just shouted at somebody and been really angry, but the universe still loves you and always will unconditionally. And that's quite a nice feeling when you know that's true.
Yes, it really is. So, well, thank you so much for joining me today on the podcast and chatting with me a little bit more about your journey and what you've learned and so on and so forth. Thank you.
It's been great, Cherie. It's been great chatting to you. Thanks very much.
Yes, indeed. And to the audience, thank you as always for joining today. As always, you can reach me via email. I'll put it in the show notes. And until next time, please take care of yourselves.